Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, April 16th, 2018, and with me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, man. Busy, but good. Good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Glad to have you here. John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Good to be here, too.
It is great to have both of you here. And I know us, so I think we just need to hop right into topics. And let's start with HomePod. So on Friday, John, you were talking about the HomePod and how it's been struggling. What exactly do you mean?
Well, I based this on a report from Bloomberg and glorious Mark Gurman, who reported that the sales were not as great as Apple had hoped for. And that kind of fit in with the jigsaw of the puzzle that I've been struggling with on the HomePod. It's a complex situation. It's a simple and glorious and great sounding device, but the market position of it and the design seems to be rather complex. And so I explored some of the nuances. It would have been easy to just, you know, come down on one side or the other and say, oh, I'm an Apple fan. It's a glorious device. Go out and buy it. Or, you know, it can't compete with the Echo and the Google Home. So, you know, it's no good. Instead, I tried to explore my thoughts about my historical understanding of it, my instincts about how it was designed, the nuances of how Apple competes, how Apple changes course, perhaps to do a mid-course correction on its products. And so I kind of fleshed that out on Friday's Particle Debris, trying to explore the ins and outs as I understand it about the HomePod and why it is designed the way it is and why it may not be out of the box as successful as Apple hoped, but maybe like the Apple Watch in the long run, it will endure and be adjusted. So those were some of my initial thoughts.
All right. So, you know, without Apple giving us real numbers for HomePod sales, it's kind of hard to gauge if the product is selling well or kind of floundering in the market, right?
Well, yeah, there was another source that I didn't link to, but it seems to be backed up by another source. There are ways to back into it, you know, surveys, supply chain. Analysts have their ways of kind of ferreting out how it's doing.
And, which is voodoo. I mean, there's a lot of voodoo that goes on, especially with the you know, companies like IDC and Gartner. I'm much more inclined to trust Mark Gurman's reporting. He has such a solid track record.
Yeah, that's why I focused on his report. So I do not have a HomePod yet. I'm kind of waiting to see how it sorts out. Yeah, I haven't seen a specific need for it in my life since I already have a pretty good sound system set up and running, and I have an Echo. So I'm trying to figure out how Apple's positioning the product in the marketplace. Perhaps there's been some misunderstanding by consumers about how broad and deep the artificial intelligence agent is. There's the lack of AirPlay. Yeah, and there's the lack of AirPlay 2. There was the delay at Christmas. There was the notion that we've come across that Apple was kind of caught off guard by Amazon and the energy that Amazon put into it when they sprang it on the world a few years ago. And there's a difference in vision of the two products, too.
What's interesting about that, and something I don't think we've ever talked about, is fine, Apple got caught flat-footed, but then apparently didn't react. I mean, Apple has all the money.
Yeah, I discussed that in the article, that Apple has elected not to compete. I mean, they sized up the MP3 market and then brought out the iPod and killed the market. They sized up the smartwatch market, waited, and then came out with the Apple Watch, and it's a killer product. So that's, as Brian said, why didn't Apple just change gears and say, we're going to do the home speaker business better than anybody else does.
We're going to do the home automation thing better than everybody else does. Why hasn't Apple decided that and executed on it?
I linked to your article, Jeff, about your HomeKit woes.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, Brian, that's a really good question that you just posed. Why hasn't Apple just really moved on these fronts and just owned these markets?
Yeah, well, so we've seen. All right, so if you guys have noticed that Apple's been hiring a lot of VPs,
mm-hmm.
and including a new head of artificial intelligence who will report directly to Tim Cook. I'm very excited about Apple expanding its ranks of executives, not because I'm all excited about Apple being top heavy, but rather because I think that Apple was like. Not top, and was the opposite of top heavy, not bottom heavy, but there were too few people making decisions. Everybody seemed like they were spread thin, and now Apple is beefing up those ranks. So I'm super excited about that, and I'm super excited that they snagged and I can't remember how to pronounce the guy's name. It's John.
Just go with JG.
JG, Mr. G is what they call him.
Brian, my information may be a little bit about a date, but my experience goes against that a little bit. VPs are a dime a dozen. There's lots of them we don't hear about it at Apple whose names are not public. VPs, in my experience, are tasked with execution, whereas senior VPs are tasked with strategy and decisions.
Well, Tim Cook now has 16 people reporting to him. And that is an expansion.
Yeah, and one of those people's reporting to him specifically on artificial intelligence.
Yeah. So we can hope that he, in fact, is part of Apple's answer to our question, why doesn't Apple just own this space? Yeah. We can hope, and I certainly do hope that's the case. I mean, it's not like if the HomePod is not selling, Apple knows that, and if... Right. I mean, probably even a little better than Mark.
Yeah.
Probably even better than Mark Gurman. Hashtag LOL. And if it's not selling, they also probably know why. And if it turns out that I was right, that Apple was focusing on the wrong thing when it came to sound quality. Right. And mm-hmm. and that has turned out to be the case. Apple should be flexible enough to be able to fix that. And we see all these other signs of Apple finally getting its crap together when it comes to new actual shipping products and iterating on things. I am hopeful that we're going to see HomePod improve in the areas that we think that it needs to improve.
My gut instinct, Brian, tells me that when the Echo came out with a distinctly sharper and different vision, Apple felt like, what do we have to do to compete? Where are we with HomeKit? Where are we with Siri? Where are we with home automation? What technologies are we missing or are immature that we can compete toe-to-toe with Amazon Echo when it first came out? And I kind of get the feeling that Apple wasn't quite ready to do that. And so they said, well, we can't compete in that area. We're going to do a different vision and put our own stamp, our own mark on this product.
And that has fizzled. And
that has been, interesting decision.
Okay, so does that mean that there's a high probability that HomePod is the next Apple Hi-Fi?
No,
I think the way to approach it, and I mentioned it in the article, is maybe expand the family of the products instead of trying to radically redesign the HomePod, which is a good product for that does what it's supposed to do. Maybe expand the family and have a more intelligent speaker focused sibling.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong. A HomePod is a great product physically.
Yeah,
it's the software. And the things that Siri can do from HomePod,
right,
that is the shortcoming of the device. I like my HomePod. I'm not at all excited when Apple TV suddenly stops playing audio through it. But I like my HomePod. What I want to see coming out of this device is for it to do more, and for it for Siri to be able to do more with HomeKit and be able to be more responsive to all the various things that it can't do through HomePod. And those things are all fixable by software. I don't mind you, like John, I do want to see the HomePod product line expand. In particular, I want something that competes effectively against Dot. Doesn't have to be a Dot clone, but something that can fill that same void of having inexpensive microphones throughout my house.
Brian, I think you hit on a really key strength of HomePod, which is that it can be improved through software updates. So it's not like Apple has to wait a year, 18 months, 24 months, whatever, to roll out something better.
It's got its own A8 processor in it. So a lot of things that the HomePod can do, it may turn out that Apple needs to include more storage or RAM in these things in the future. That I guess that's possible. But a lot to me, the biggest shortcomings of the HomePod, which are all Siri related, can be addressed through software. And I still expect to see some announcements in June at WWDC.
That would be very cool. Too.
Brian, I want to lay something on you. I kind of get the perception that customers were a little bit confused about the state of the product. They thought that, they're very familiar with Amazon Echo for some reason, probably because we're all Amazon customers and are familiar with Amazon and our shopping and probably already had an Echo, maybe even a Dot, if anything. So then this new product comes along, and the perception might well have been, this is Apple doing the Echo the Apple way. And then you go out and you look at it, or maybe make a purchase decision, and you find out that Apple's vision was a little bit different than your expectations. And the limitations of it are somewhat disappointing in that respect. What do you think?
I think if you're onto something there, John, I think it's going to be simpler. I think it's $349. Whoa.
That creates expectations too.
$349 is not a lot of money to pay for the quality of speaker, but if you're comparing it in your head against Alexa, that's just it. It's it's like Apple just seemed like they expected us to compare this thing to Sonos, and that's not the case. People are comparing it to Alexa.
I never saw Apple close that deal in their advertising or in their webpage.
That's a really good point. Yeah. While the entire world is comparing HomePod to Echo and Google Home, Apple is saying, no, compared to Sonos.
Yeah, well, screw you. I'm going to compare it to Echo.
Under the table, so to speak, though. Hidden assumption.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Brian, I'm with you. I really like my HomePod. After my HomeKit meltdown, I'm not doing very much with home automation with my HomePod today. That could change as I troubleshoot and as things change with the HomeKit platform. But for now, my HomePod is, generally speaking, a voice-controlled speaker. And that's it. But I'm okay with that for now because it's perfect for my place. And since Apple can make all kinds of changes with software, I expect that over time, the HomePod will become the core of my smart home control again. At least that's what I'm expecting. So, no pressure, Apple.
No pressure.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about something else today as well, which is Apple Watch. And so the deal is, over the weekend, there was a report that came out that said people have been digging through the code for watchOS. And what they found in 4.3.1, watchOS 4.3.1, is a reference to third-party watch faces. And so immediately the speculation started that, okay, Apple is getting ready to open up Apple Watch to third-party watch faces. And I'm positing, based in part by Steve Troughton Smith, who, I mean, he knows his code, and he's a smart developer, and he thinks that this is something that's already been around, and I agree with him. This isn't about new watch faces. This is about the ability for developers to make complications. And this is not an indication that third-party developers are about to get to start making Apple Watch faces.
Right, so if I understand correctly, you're taking the under on Apple supporting third-party watch faces.
Yeah, I'm not on board with third-party watch faces.
Then I'm a take the over. that's what I'm saying.
All right. Well, the documentation for developers is there supporting what I'm saying. And with Steve Troughton Smith in my corner, I think I'm going to clean up on this one.
But there's logic. Apple should allow third-party faces. Apple should allow third-party faces. It's insane.
I agree.
You can't have third-party faces on a freaking digital watch, smartwatch thingy. It makes no sense not to unleash the world of developers on the problem of watch faces.
Well, problem. What kind of problem might that be? Well, there's only one watch face, and it's kind of messy, that has hours, minutes, and seconds. Why can't I have a selection?
That's not the problem I'm talking about. I'm just talking.
I know,
about
but the that's problem. The problem it pisses me off so much. 3 years. And I can't get the watch face I want with hours, minutes, and seconds.
Yeah, I want to see photorealistic mechanical watch copies. I want to see the most crazy, weird,
like chronometer. There's an app called Chronometer that has the most glorious watch faces you've ever seen in your life. That would be
on
amazing.
iPhone.
Yes, on iPhone.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's a great app. But I want to see crazy things. I want to see just the weirdest.
You want to have an Elkhart wristwatch, don't you?
Yeah, I'd probably try that on. I don't know that I'd keep it, but you know, I want to see
with long stroke copper mechanical keys.
Yes. I want the power of the developer community unleashed on watch faces, because I'll be honest, Apple's watch faces are largely uninspiring.
And what could go wrong?
To me, this is a subjective thing.
If you don't like a watch face, if Apple thinks somebody might go hog wild and do something crazy, some people will like it and some people won't. And the people who don't like it won't use it. The people who do like it will pay their 99 cents or whatever.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
You know, I would love to have a wider diversity of watch faces, because I feel like I'm constricted in some ways with the way I look at information on my Apple Watch. So yeah, I'm totally on board for third-party watch faces, but I can tell you in one word why we're not going to see it. And that word is Pebble. And if you ever used a Pebble, and I did for a little while, and looked at the diversity of watch faces that were available, more than you can count, and almost all of those were just flat out garbage. I mean, they looked horrible.
Okay,
Apple's not going to let that happen.
That's fine, and Apple can still be the gatekeeper, because everything's still got to go through the App Store. You know, Apple can set standards. Apple can do whatever, and Apple could just reject the crappy ones if that's what Apple wants to do. But I still...
Well, based on artistic impression and... Oh, come on. How does Apple write a justification in their developer guidelines for, well, we don't like the way it looks, so we're going to... How do you do that?
They just give our... It's like we get to reject it at our discretion in the story. They do that all the time. But you can't compare the world of Pebble developers to iOS developers.
Well, I don't think I have to make the comparison. I'm betting Apple already did. No, we're not going down that path. I think Apple wants to maintain really tight control over the visual appearance of an Apple Watch.
So you make one particular face undeletable, so that basically, if there's ever a problem, with looking at these things, the support staff can go to the Apple supported face. And you let people do stuff as they want. And I know this is Apple we're talking about.
Surely it has the horsepower. Surely there's no technical limitations. Surely it's just an idiosyncratic feeling on the part of Apple.
Well, actually, John, I wonder if it's that. I wonder if it's that it's that there is the potential for a watch face to just suck.
Oh, burn up the battery, maybe.
Oh, yeah, like in a flash, and without suitable controls, or without perhaps without the necessary battery capacity, Apple doesn't want to risk that.
That's a very real possibility. I think a lot of it just comes down to aesthetics, and Apple knows how they want the watch to look.
But Apple can control that in the photographs on their website and in the stores when they display it. But why do they care what people do in the privacy of their own homes downloading a watch face for themselves?
Because your watch doesn't stay display. In the privacy of your own home. Your watch
is just meeting Apple.
It's John, most of the time the display is dark anyway until somebody touches it. It's really hard to get a glimpse.
Excuse me, watching, I have a very important question here.
Been watching Colbert for years trying to figure out what watch face Stephen Colbert uses, and his display is always dark, and I can't do it.
Yeah. It's probably because he's using theater mode when he's on camera. And Brian, you were trying to make a very important statement, which I want to make sure you get to make before I wrap us up.
Oh. Too late.
The moment's passed.
Yep.
Yeah. See, John, see what you did. You made us miss out on Brian's gem of wisdom.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Anyhow, we have to wrap up. But I just want to say before we're totally done, while I would love to have third-party watch faces on Apple Watch so I could have a lot more control over how I display information, I don't expect that's going to happen. Not for a very long time. Apple is just going to maintain incredibly tight control over what we see on our wrist. And that's
it. Including the lack of hours, minutes, seconds. So there.
Yeah, John, if you had really needed that, they would have put that on the default watch face for you.
Yeah. All my readers do.
Yeah. Well, clearly Apple knows better. Anyhow.
No,
all right.
They don't. No,
we're
they
out
don't.
Of time.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
We're out of time just as I get John really wound up. Well, John, we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, because it's obvious you have more to say. So thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And Brian, thank you for joining me too.
Yep, thanks for having us.
Yep, it's great to have both of you on the show today. Listeners, thanks for being here as well, and thank you for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.